With you one last time, and I'm thankful that we can look at Philippians together this morning. So I want to just pray for our time together in the Word, and then we'll look at Philippians, the last chapter, part of the last chapter together. Let's pray. You are the Lord of all the earth. We shout your name. We declare that you are the King this morning, God, and it's always true of you. We're just acknowledging that now. And I pray, Lord, that as a result of this morning, singing and being together, as a result of hearing from your word, that your lordship would be more true in our lives. It's not any less true of who you are, but God, we need it in our minds, our hearts, our actions, our words, our deeds, each and every moment. And so I'm just asking, Lord, as we look at your word this morning, that you will shape us, you will shepherd us. You will mold us. God, places that were hard to you, I pray that you would melt and break down so that we might be soft and malleable in your hands. And so Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we welcome you in a special way to come as we hear from your word this morning. God, keep making us people of your word, who love your word and go to your word. And so we just invite you to help us with that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Philippians is one of my favorite books, and a couple of weeks ago, we talked a little bit about that. Just this idea that there's this contrast that we find in this passage, in this whole book, about who Paul is and what he's talking about and what God is doing. And I found this picture this week. It's hard, a little hard to make out, but this is one of the prison cells that Paul was most likely in. It's called the Mamertine Prison. And most likely, both Paul and Peter were here prior to their execution. Paul was most likely, they don't even know. When you think of this hero of the faith, a man who wrote most of the New Testament after Jesus' time, he affects us in so many ways. He's influenced Western culture in so many ways that his final days were in a cell similar to this. And the Romans took him and beheaded him in a back alley somewhere. We want it to be up on this beautiful pedestal, but this man suffered greatly. He went through such deep loneliness at the end of his life. We read in 2 Timothy that he's cold and he's alone, and most people have abandoned him. And this is where he was. I get claustrophobic if, you know, I'm in a small space even for a few minutes. I'm like, yeah, I got to get out of here. One of the heroes of our faith, who we tend to put on a pedestal, would have been in a location like this, wrote a book that we're looking at in Philippians. The tone is so contrary to this. How would you feel if you were locked up in a dingy Roman dungeon for days on end? It wouldn't be good. But what does Paul say? Rejoice. Pray. Focus. Rejoice. Pray. Focus. Rejoice. This word keeps repeating. He's saying he's in prison. He's saying he's falsely put there. He knows either the crucifix or the cat of nine tails or the sword or the axe or whatever Roman torture is coming his way. And he says, rejoice, pray, focus. Philippians, rejoice, pray, focus. For Saskatchewantonians, or whatever that is. Wanians. I guess it would be Wanians. Rejoice. Pray. Focus. If there's three words I could leave you with as it's my last message here, as one of the pastors here on the staff of Fort Saskatchewan Alliance Church. It's not wordy. It's not paragraphs. It's three words. Rejoice. Pray. Focus. Why? The Lord is near. You see, in this whole book, we find in chapter 2 that Paul is so affected by the day of the Lord that is coming, that one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that that day is coming, that even a dungeon in Rome can shine with the light of the Holy Spirit because the Lord is near and nothing can stop Jesus the Christ. Now that's upside down. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense in a human sense. It's a holy thing. Rejoice, pray, focus. Because something has transpired. Something has transformed Paul so that even a dingy, dark, falsely accused, here comes the sword, lonely place, he can say, rejoice, pray, focus. The Lord is near. And so, the power of the word is for you and I today as well. We need to really wrestle with Philippians 4, 4 to 9. It's only a few verses. But if you sit with it and you spend time with it, it can really shape and change even the things that you're in now and give you a new perspective. These three words penned by Paul, inspired by the Spirit, these three ideas are so profound. I want to show them to you for a few minutes. Let me read Philippians 4, 4 to 9 for you. It's in your bulletin. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn there. I want to invite you to spend some time with these words at some point in the summer. Imagine he's wrapping up some of the last words that he'll ever put down. And the tone is so amazing. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. He's repeated this idea throughout the whole letter of Philippians. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. It's the word of the Lord. First of all, rejoice. How can we do that? We need to realize real rejoicing. It's not a trite happiness. It's not a loose happiness, a thin happiness. It's a real rejoicing in the reality of what Jesus Christ has accomplished and who he is. You know, you might get a sense sometimes if you're at church that, you know, just these happy, clappy people. But friends, there's an acknowledgement in these words in Philippians that things are hard. Paul's in prison. There's disagreements in the church in Philippi. There's persecution. There's false teachers. There's people out to get them. However, because the Lord is near, they can keep on rejoicing. They can keep on rejoicing because the great overarching story is that Jesus wins. And he is coming again. And so we need to acknowledge real suffering. Paul does that. He holds that intention in words. One thing that God wants us to know today is that we don't need to dismiss, disregard, detach ourselves from the real suffering that's going on in our lives. And it's happening. It's there. And it's okay to acknowledge that. But what Paul wants us to do is put it into perspective compared to the reality that Jesus is coming again. That's how he could go through the suffering that he was going through. That's why he wrote these words. That's how he could live in that dungeon. It has to be a holy work. He's acknowledging. He's imprisoned. He's acknowledging those things. Friends, I want to encourage you to help your rejoicing. Part of that process is to actually acknowledge your real suffering and not just to dismiss it and pretend it's not there or run from it. There's a huge temptation just to run from it. but to acknowledge that it's real and that Jesus, the beauty of Jesus, the way that we know that it's a God thing and not a human thing is that Jesus actually enters into suffering with you. Jesus went through suffering, great suffering, forsaken by his Father, broken, scourged, beaten, innocent, yet devastated on the cross. We acknowledge that, and at the same time, we acknowledge his victory. Through suffering, he entered into the glory of God. Friends, that's part of our journey in this life. And so if we deny suffering or we run from suffering, we dismiss or get rid of the sweetness of the intimate relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. He wants to actually enter into your suffering with you. In Isaiah 53, it says, by his wounds we are healed. He was wounded, yes, and we have to acknowledge that we need healing. We need help. We're suffering. What's going on in the soul level? What's going on in the circumstances today that you need to actually acknowledge your real suffering to Jesus today? And in that, I want you to rejoice because he cares about that. He can help you in that, and he can carry you through that. Will you acknowledge your real suffering today? Paul's writing these things because he wants the Philippians to do that. This is the word of God, so it's living and active, and so it can actually change and help us today in the real things that we're going through. Rejoice, because Jesus is the real Redeemer. Part of the anticipation that Paul had is that he knew that that dungeon and that Roman sword blade was not the end of the story. That because Jesus has been wounded, that Jesus has died, Jesus has risen again, that the end of the story for Paul was resurrection. New body, new reality because of Christ and what he's accomplished. That Jesus is actually coming back to the earth. Paul will actually see him face to face, and he will know that that dungeon and that sword blade and the whips and the shipwrecks and the persecution were not in vain. Jesus is the real Redeemer. Rejoice. 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 Friends, Paul's anticipating this even in a prison cell. He's encouraging the Philippians, and he's encouraging us today to rejoice in Christ. Rejoice in Christ, not a loose, light, flighty happiness, but a rooted reality of rejoicing in Jesus, the real Redeemer. Pray. Rejoice. Secondly, he wants us to pray. These are some amazing words on prayer here. And I'd love to preach 3 sermons to talk about rejoicing first, then prayer, then focus. I'll just wrap it up in 1 today. Pray. I want to encourage you, if you don't know much about prayer, if you want to grow in prayer, spend time with these words. Think of these words now in light of living in 2017. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Paul's not saying that we deny our suffering because he wants us to acknowledge our suffering. But something happens when we have stuff going on. Our anxiety almost becomes like an idol or something, this little thing that we just obsess over. And in fact, it can become so obsessive that we make it our identity. And we don't actually know how to live if this thing isn't there. And we're just obsessing about our anxiety, and it becomes our identity, and we're just kind of locked in on it, and we want everybody to talk about it and focus on it with us. And we can't imagine it not being there. And so Paul's not saying don't be anxious. In a sense, he's saying give your anxiety to God. Stop obsessing about your anxiety. This is an upside down word for the world of 2017 today? And he's saying it to the church, those who are in Christ, the Lord is near. Stop obsessing about your anxiety. How? Prayer. Be true. Yes, again, he's saying, acknowledge your anxiety. Be real about what's going on. The Philippians were facing great persecution. They're facing disunity in their church. They're facing the Roman government. They're facing all kinds of things. We acknowledge that. And at the same time, be thankful with thanksgiving. You ever notice how when you're praying and you actually shift the focus to thanksgiving, the tone just kind of changes, doesn't it? God wants us to bring thanksgiving into our prayer, to be honest about what's going on, and at the same time, acknowledge that we have life and breath, an opportunity to know God Almighty through Jesus, to be thankful for that, to be thankful. And maybe you're not thankful about this particular thing, but you can be thankful about other things. The gratitude is actually meant to season and undergird our prayer life. Because really, who are we to even shout the name Yahweh today without being burnt to a crisp? It's grace. It's mercy that we can know God now and forever. That we can shout Yahweh and Jesus, and we can sing these songs, "Be thou my vision. You are my vision." We can sing those things. Because he is a God of grace and he gives us life today. So be true and be thankful. Not only that, but Paul's saying here, beyond human understanding. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is loaded. Please go back to this. We're so smart. We've got everything figured out, don't we? We know every angle. We're in control. We know it all. Paul is daring us from a Roman prison cell to seek supernatural solutions. If the God of the universe is now your friend, Jesus is your Savior, his Holy Spirit dwells within you, he's probably got your situation figured out. And he wants you to actually seek him for a supernatural solution that you cannot even anticipate. So he's asking, he's daring you from a Roman prison cell to seek supernatural solutions beyond your understanding. But we Google this and we search that and we think we've got it all figured out. Friends, we're smart. We are smart. I get that. But the Holy One of the universe, who's infinite and sees infinite angles of every situation, he wants you to actually talk to him and seek him wherever you are so that he can actually speak a solution and guide you supernaturally, give you strategies. But if you're running from him and denying things, he's just waiting to answer you. We need to be people of prayer. We need to seek supernatural solutions. Even as brilliant and as resourceful and as accomplished as we are, we are not as brilliant, resourceful, or as accomplished as the holy God of the universe. And so from a Roman prison cell, Paul can say, seek supernatural solutions in prayer. And by doing that, God wants to actually give you his peace. Gain God's garrison peace. So the word garrison here is that Philippi was actually a Roman garrison. There would have been Roman soldiers everywhere. And so he uses the word guard on purpose, because the Philippians would have been so used to and aware of guards everywhere. And he's saying that there's a peace from God, in God, that is God, that's going to guard you as you bring things to God, that's greater than this garrison that you see around you. There's a peace. God's actual, the peace that's actually in God is actually going to be transfused into small human lives. Because he's a God of grace and he wants you to give your anxieties to him, and he wants to give you his peace. You see, God's not anxious. He's not worried. He's not in a rush. He's not ever out of control. He doesn't sleep. I know I've talked to you lots about coffee in the past. God never needs a double shot of espresso to wake up and be ready for the day. Always filled with peace, comfort, always on the throne, always in control. Always. And the peace that's actually in God, because that's part of who he is. He actually, it's an exchange thing. You give him your anxieties and he gives his peace. And I don't know about you, but often I think of peace as this kind of, maybe because I grew up in the 70s or something, this, you know, peace, love, happiness, fluffy, love child kind of thing, right? But it's a strong, he uses the word guard. It's a holy, sacred, strong. We sang the word strong tower. You're my strong tower. That's the kind of peace. As we pray that God can grant you where you, it doesn't make sense. If you've ever been there, you know, it's like, this doesn't make any sense. I shouldn't be feeling peace in this moment, but I am, because God is granting me peace. I've given my anxiety over to him and he's flooding my soul with peace. Rejoice, pray, and finally, focus. Focus. Paul, in verses 8 and 9, particularly verse 8, wants us, finally, brothers, sisters as well, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. He's calling us to the pursuit in mind, in heart, in soul, in life, wherever, seeking the excellent things, whatever, whenever, these whatevers, not just like whatever, but whatever might be excellent or praiseworthy, seek those things. And again, in a world that we live in today, where it seems like it's a rush to the worst possible bottom, to become bottom feeders somehow, this word is actually calling you to the heights of what's beautiful and commendable and wonderful and sacred and merciful and truthful. Now, I don't tend to make political comments, but I will make one really quickly here. When the most powerful man in the world is tweeting garbage every single day, it drives me crazy. Because this man should be calling us to something greater. And he's not. And whatever seems to come into his mind, he just kind of spews out, and it's gross. The word of God is saying, whatever is excellent, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is wonderful and sacred and holy, think of those things. Friends, in one verse, Paul is calling you to more beautiful and wonderful and amazing things than the President of the United States. And so I want to call you to that, whatever, whenever, to these beautiful, amazing things. Pursue excellence. Seek great things. Pursue these things. Ultimately, it's Jesus Christ. But he's saying in a multidimensional way, pursue that. And then he talks about modeling it. He's tried to in his life as an apostle of the Lord. He's tried to pass these things on to the people of Philippi and other church plants that he's been a part of. Not only are you to model it, but you're actually, you're to pursue it, but then also you're to model it. We were talking about this as a staff this week. How the people are watching our lives. Friends, somebody, many people in fact, are watching your life. What are you modeling to them? Paul is calling you in verse 8 here to be like him as he follows Christ, to then model and pass this on, to make the focus of your life, your words, your thoughts, your actions, Jesus, model that to others. Not just think it's a good idea, but then trying to live it. Whatever is excellent and praiseworthy. And then finally, he wants us to tell the truth about Jesus and his peace. The God of peace will be with you. That's how he closes verse 9. He lays some pretty pointed things out. He invites us to pursue rejoicing and prayer and focus. And if you want to have, you have peace with God, but then in your life, you can have peace with God as you seek these things with all that you are, laying nothing to chance with God. What does the gospel say about rejoice, pray, and focus? Because Jesus has lived and died and risen again, he's coming back. He's done all of those things, and that means he's coming again. And that he's actually given us his Holy Spirit. He's at work. He's speaking right now. Therefore, we can rejoice. He's made a way so that we're actually called sons and daughters of the Most High God. So we can pray. We can seek him. Friends, in this world where there's so many distractions, there's so many things that want to take you away. The world, the flesh, and the devil want to take you away from Jesus the Christ. Because of the power of the gospel, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, because of the power of Jesus Christ who's here right now. He wants you to live a life of focus on him. Wherever, whatever, whenever in him, to live a life of focus. The gospel has freed us to do that. The gospel has freed us to live that kind of life. What would it look like if the nearness of the Lord really changed our inner and our outer lives? Friends, if I could say one last thing, it would be that Jesus is here and Jesus is coming again. And every one of us is going to have to face him face to face. And what we do now and until that time happens matters, our inner world and our outer world. And I want the nearness of the Lord to really bring a true change in your lives, heart, mind, soul, words, thoughts, whatever it might be. So I want to pray for us and ask that the Lord would just speak to you about what that might be today. And rejoice, pray, focus. Let's pray together.